and a pure heart. So he's saying it has to start with you. Amen. The core of prayer before you get there has to start with you. Are you willing to come to God and be honest and say, look, I don't have it together. I need some help. I need some help because I'm trying too hard to get you to perform when I haven't done the first. I haven't been totally transparent with you yet. That's the core of prayer. You got to get to the core. The outer person is to get you in order. Yes. The inner person is to get your processor in order and understand that the sacrifice is acceptable. Yes. And when you get to the core, you see differently. Hallelujah. Because the core is about the Father. It's not about you. Come on, it's about the Father. It's about how great He is. It's about how holy He is. It's about how just He is. It's about how magnificent He is. It's about how He delivered us, how He healed us, how He keeps us, how He sustains us, how He provides for us, how He's whole, how He's just, how He's magnificent, how His name is above every name, how He created all things in His image and His likeness, how He is the Most High. It's about Him. It's never about us.
Never. Hallelujah.
Job 42. Are you getting something?
Yes.
Got to check your heart. You don't have that heart like, you had that heart like Judas. That's why I said we had to check that first. Job said some powerful stuff. This is one of the powerful statements he said. Verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, now you remember all the stuff Job been through. I can't go through everything. Lost his family, did everything. He had his friends around him. You got to be so careful about people you call your friends.
Yes.
Some of your friends have been sent on assignment to derail you. Come on. Some of your friends have been sent on assignment from Satan to derail you.
Yes.
You call them friends. The Bible calls them adversaries.
Yes.
Remember, we talked about it earlier. It says that Judas, when they talked about him at the supper, it says, and as soon as he dipped his finger in the sop, Satan entered into him.
Yes.
Come on, that's what it says. That means that he himself became a haven for Satan.
Yes.
Come on.
See, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm going to say it slow so you can get this. If Christ is the word of God and the flesh on the earth, Judas became the enemy of God in the flesh on the earth.
Yes. Wow.
Because Satan incarnated him or possessed him.
That's it.
Come on, you got to get this. This is why I say you have to understand how the kingdom works. You have to stop trying to think you know everything. You don't. None of us do. But as you grasp it and get it and you start walking it, it changes your life.
Yes.
Now I'm telling you, your prayers will be answered 1,000% if you follow what God is saying. He is not a respecter of person. How is it that an inferior covenant people who were Israel, they are our people, our descendants, had inferior covenant, and how many times did they pray and immediately the Lord?
Yes.
But yet here we are, and we're, oh God, please, I need you. I'm still standing in faith. Are you really standing in faith? And which part of you is praying? Is it the outer man, inner man, or are you at the core? Because you don't ask for stuff like that at the core.
Right.
It's the inner man that asks for that stuff. Come on, it's the inner man. Now watch Job. Chapter 42, verse 1. This is Job after all the stuff he went through. God asked him questions. You want to read something that will blow your mind? Look at what God asked Job. None of us could have answered it. Say, where were you? Anytime God starts off with, where were you? You were in trouble. He said, where were you? When I laid the foundation of the earth. He said, where were you? He said, where were you? He just went down a whole list. Where were you when I did this? He said, no. He said, silence yourself and answer me like a man. Let me tell you something. I wasn't there. But if I was one of Job's homeboys, not the three, but one of his boys outside the tent, you would have saw my camel with smoke coming out of it. I would have been carrying a camel. You run too slow. I would have picked that camel up and ran. He didn't just ask. You got to understand what he's asking him. He said, be quiet and answer me like a man. Answer me in all the wisdom that you've obtained since you've been on the earth and tell me how I laid the foundation of the earth.
Yes.
Tell me each star that I named and how did I name them.
Yes.
We still can't answer that. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do what?
Everything.
And that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. In other words, you can do anything you want to do, period. That's what Job is saying. Got it?
Yes.
Watch verse 3. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. In other words, I opened my mouth and I should have been quiet. How many of us have done that? Don't raise your hand, because we all have to raise our hands. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. In other words, I should have just shut my mouth. Now watch verse 4. Listen, please, and let me speak, you said. I will question you, and you shall answer me. He's telling God what God told him. Now watch verse 5. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. Come on, you see that? But now my eyes see you. This is a powerful statement. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Oh, I'll read that again slow. You got to get that. Come on, you got to get that. You missed that. I want you to see this. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. Come on, how many people at Kingdom Ministry, somebody has told you something that God has done for them? You're like, he's a mighty God. He's a great king, and you're celebrating with them. That's what Job is saying. I heard about you. He's saying, but now my eye sees you. He's now in the core, ladies and gentlemen. He's telling you, I'm seeing God. Before, I was on the outside getting counsel from my friends Eliphaz and the rest of them, and I saw my family and all this stuff happen. I didn't know what was going on. I was getting frustrated. They were telling me I was sinning. I couldn't figure it out. I offer sacrifice every day. I don't know what's going on, what's going on. Finally, God talked to him, He came to himself. He said, wait a minute. First of all, it's me. I'm the issue. Yeah. Come on. That's what he said. He said, it starts with me.
Yes.
He said, I'm the issue. He said, how dare I question you? And he said, second, not only that, you asked me to answer you. He said, you told me to answer a question. He said, those things are too wonderful. I should have never opened my mouth. Come on, that's what he's saying. I should have never opened my mouth. And then in verse 5, he said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. He said, but now my eyes see you. He's in the core. And when he's at the core, he said, therefore, I abhor myself. That word means to humble. He said, I'm humbling myself and repent in dust and ashes. Dust and ashes during that time was a greatest place of sorrow, where people would grab dust and sackcloth and throw it on themselves. Job is doing twofold. He's repenting in dust and ashes, and he's reminding God that he's dust. He said, I'm just dust. I'm just dust, and I'm repenting. I'm bringing myself to the lowest place possible because I see you. Come on, before I heard about you. And I heard people talk about you. He said, but now, since I brought myself into alignment and I realized that this thing isn't about me, it's bigger than me, it's about you, I'm going to align myself, straighten myself out, wait here, bring my soul into alignment, and then when I come and see you, I'm going to say, wait a minute, who am I?
Well.
That's what he said. And the moment he saw him, the way he saw him, and he asked for forgiveness, he said, I repent. Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
I changed my way of thinking.
Yes.
Metanoia, I changed my way of thinking. He said, now you're talking, Job. He said, I'll tell you what. God went to his friends and said, you didn't talk of me right to Job. That's what he told him. You didn't give him any counsel that I said. He said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go take 7 rams and these other animals. And he said, go offer them as a sacrifice. And he said, and then I'll have Job pray for you. And then I won't do to you what I want to do to you.
Yes.
Come on.
That's a powerful statement.
Yes.
Even though he wants to do something, now you're going to hold on, he can't stop himself from doing it unless Job prays.
Wow. Yeah.
Come on, you got to see that. He's the creator of all the heavens, the earth, and everything. He's already set in motion to do something to them.
Yes.
But he said, you offer a sacrifice, and then when Job prays, I'll let you go. Mm-hmm. I won't do what I'm going to do to you. He said, but you have to offer the sacrifice, and Job has to pray.
Yes.
And the writer said they did that, and then it says all the family gathered together with Job. And it says, and they begin to break off earrings. And they begin, come on, you got to see this. Because Job finally saw him who he was. He humbled himself. He brought himself to a place of humbling, and he realized, I'm just dirt on the earth for a season, and you are who you say you are. And the writer said that he had more in this lifetime than he had in the previous.
Yes.
And he lived 140 years more.
Yes.
Why? Because he understood something. I understand the core of prayer. It's not about me. It's about you. And I may not understand everything that's going on in my life, but I got to stop complaining. Because all the complaining I'm doing is causing my mind to be against you, and I'm secretly in my heart lifting my hands, but God, I really don't like you. Come on. That's what's being built up in me. I'm getting that Judas spirit and don't know it. Because I can't figure it out. He's saying, well, why are you trying to figure it out? First thing, check yourself. Stop here. Let's do an inventory. How you doing? Are you living right? Are you thinking right? What are you doing? Get to the next phase. What are you doing here? Okay, now come to the core of prayer. Why is that important? Write this down in your notes to help you. 1 Peter 5:16 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, you will be exalted. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, you will be exalted. Why is he saying that? We can no longer just jump up and run the prayer and thinking that God's going to accept everything. We've got to get to the core. The outer, good start. The inner, prove that you made it past the outer. We're after the core. We have to get to the place where we're just glorifying his name, where we're giving him glory, where we're lifting up the name of the Most High. That's what David was saying in his writings when he talked about judging me. Before I even get in here with my harp, you tell me, am I doing right? So from now on, when you get ready to pray, don't you dare just jump up and run pray. You check first yourself. God, before I get into your presence, before your glory shows up, is my heart right? Am I living right? Am I doing what's right? Do I have anything in me? Have I been saying words and imaginations and things in my mind? What have I been doing and saying that's affected me to the point where it's keeping me at the outer portion and I can't even enter into the core of prayer? What have I been doing? That's what he wants to hear. And then when you get that part of you taken care of, you move to the inner, your soul begins to align and it begins to process things correctly because the filter is there. See, as long as all that junk is in you, you don't process correctly. But once that junk is out of you, you process correctly, and your next move of faith is to go into the core of prayer. I want to get to the place where I'm just glorifying you. Not about me, it's about you. You don't find one time in heaven where nobody is making a request. The only place you see is one passage when it says that the saints of old, the ones that have been martyred, are under the throne of God saying, how long before you vindicate us? Outside of that, all you see is worship, praise, giving him glory. Worship, praise, giving him glory. Worship, praise. Why? Because they're at the core of prayer. That's our objective, people, sons and daughters. We must live in the core of prayer. No longer on the outer, no longer fighting in the inner. We must live in the core of prayer, and it will change your life. You must do inventory on yourself daily. Yes. Not weekly, not monthly, daily. Am I listening to the Holy Spirit? Am I loving correctly? Am I walking right? Did I spend quality time with you? Quality time is not anybody's business but you and God, but it can't be 30 seconds. Come on, are you listening to me? You have to get this today. This will change your entire prayer life. And you won't just run in there with religious words. God, you know my heart. God, that doesn't work. It hasn't worked for you so far, has it? Then what are you doing? Why do you keep doing a repetitive thing? Because it's safe and it keeps you hidden like God can't see you. You're doing the same thing Judas is doing. You're skimming off the top as though God doesn't see you. How much longer are we going to skim? You're better than that. You're better than that. There was a lamb that was given who was a king off a throne to make sure you can have full access back to the core. That's where Adam lived. The first Adam lived in the core. The last Adam is still in the core. Thank you for joining us today at Kingdom Ministries International. You can visit us online at kingdomfamilies.online or call us at 754-229-5641. We would love to hear from you. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you.